Brother James. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis this evening, Genesis chapter 49. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. I'd like for us to continue our study in the book of Genesis, and hopefully we'll finish the book by the end of this year. That is the goal. Genesis chapter 49. Let's read once again verse number 33, and then we will move into chapter 50 and read verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 49, verse number 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we are thankful for your precious word. We ask now that your blessed Holy Spirit, O Heavenly Father, will guide us and lead us into truth. Lord, we pray that you'd make application to our hearts. And Lord, give us hearts of humility to respond to your word this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 49 ends with Jacob's last charge to his sons concerning his burial. He stresses in verses 29 to 32 of Genesis chapter 49 that my people are important to me. My land is important to me. My heritage is important to me. Jacob wanted to be identified with his people by being buried in Canaan, not Egypt. And then in verse number 33, the last verse of chapter 49, he, upon ending his charge to his sons, the Bible teaches us that he graciously entered the door of eternity. He quietly and peacefully fell asleep and awoke in the presence of his heavenly Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible teaches us, for those of us that know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now we see here in chapter 50 of Genesis, the Father's will carried out exactly as he requested. And Joseph was careful to lead the charge in fulfilling the will of his Father. Our Lord Jesus, during his earthly ministry, was determined to do the will of his heavenly Father. In John 4:34, the Bible reads, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so likewise, you and I should determine to fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father while we are upon the earth. See, Jacob has stepped into eternity. Joseph is left behind with the responsibility to fulfill the will of his Father. And so likewise, our God is seated in the heavenlies. And God has given us a mandate to fulfill his will. And as the Lord Jesus said shortly before his arrest and crucifixion, not my will, but thine be done. Let's note the details of Jacob's burial and how Joseph led his brothers into the fulfilling of his father's will. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 1, 2, and 3, we have the preparation. The preparation. Note there in verse number 2, once again, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And note the third verse. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourn for him 70 days. So in verse number 1 of chapter 50, we see that Joseph initially grieves the loss of his father. The Bible teaches us in verse 1 that he fell upon his face, upon his father's face. He wept upon him and he kissed him. And this is a natural response to sorrow. Nothing wrong with sorrowing. But we that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we do not sorrow as if we have no hope. There is a difference. See, Joseph understood that this is only a temporary separation. There will be a reunion in heaven in God's fullness of time. Now let me ask you this evening, do you have that same hope concerning those that are dear to you and I? Let's note in the text here that there is no record of the brothers grieving. It's only Joseph. My question is, why? Why is it that Joseph fell upon the father's face and wept and kissed him, but we don't read of the brothers doing likewise? Why? Well, I'll let you answer that question. I'm not sure why. But just because the Bible doesn't give us an account of them also mourning the father's death, that doesn't mean that it didn't take place. So after Joseph initially grieves the loss of his father, he commands his servants, the physicians, to begin the embalming process. So arrangements were now made for the embalming of the body. Now it's important that we understand within Egyptian culture, the burying of the dead was a big deal. I say big deal with a capital B, capital I, capital G. Because they had a very strong belief in the afterlife. And the Bible teaches us in verse number, the third verse, that 40 days were set apart for the actual embalming or preparation of the body. Then once that was completed, there would be a 70-day mourning period. And then you have the funeral service. So 40 days to prepare the body, 70 days for mourning. Now this was normal for an Egyptian king. It wasn't the norm for the average Joe Blow like you and I. But if you were a pharaoh, a king, then you got the royal treatment. You got the 40 days of embalming. You got the 70 days of mourning. The embalming was a very detailed process. From coffin making, painting the coffin, preparing funeral furniture, preparing religious rituals. They spent 2 out of the 4 months actually preparing the body. They would first drain the brain out of the skull through the nostrils. Delightful, isn't it? Then the vital organs would be extracted. That once all the vital organs are extracted out of the body, the brain is drained out of the skull, the body is cleansed with palm wine and purified with incense. And once the body, the shell, is hollow, then the body is filled with spices and perfumes. And then it's soaked in nitron for a week. And then the body is washed. Then it's wrapped in strips of fine linen, then smeared with a gum, a type of glue around the body. And then it's placed in its custom-made coffin. And then it goes off for burial. So as you can see, quite a bit of preparation took place. Jacob's death had such an effect on Joseph and on all of Egypt that the whole land mourned for 70 days. And this gives us some insight into the extent of Joseph's influence and power in Egypt. Now, what was Jacob to Egypt? Nothing. What was Joseph to Egypt? Everything. So Joseph's father was honored with a state funeral. Jacob was a nobody in Egypt. But because he was the father of Joseph, he was treated like royalty. He was given a state funeral. So we see here the detailed effort of preparing the body for burial. A total of 40 days of preparation. Let me ask you this evening, are you prepared to die? Not how or where you will be buried, but more importantly, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? See, the Egyptians believed in an afterlife, and therefore they were very meticulous in preparing for that afterlife. In Amos chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible teaches us, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Let me ask you this evening, are you prepared to meet your Creator? We have a world pandemic at the moment that is sending waves of paranoia and fear over people. See, people are afraid of contracting the virus, the coronavirus, and ultimately dying as a result. May I remind us all that we all have contracted a more deadly disease. It's called sin. And because of this, whether it be the coronavirus or whether it be cancer or whether it be old age, we will all die. And we don't know when it will be our turn. But we all know that we have an appointment to die. We might not like to think about it, but we all have an appointment with death. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. See, you can prepare for that day with confidence and hope only in the person of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, he shed his blood, and he provides a spiritual vaccine that will guarantee you and I a home in heaven. Joseph went to great length to prepare the body of his father for burial. Let me ask you this evening, are you prepared for the eternal realm? Will you receive this gift of God which is eternal life? The Bible teaches us in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I need to repent, and you and I need to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Otherwise, we will die in our sin and spend eternity in a place called hellfire without hope. Prepare, my friend, for the life to come. It's one thing to prepay for your funeral. What about preparing for eternity? See, the reality will be that most of us will avoid this coronavirus. but we will not avoid death. So prepare to meet thy God now while you can. Otherwise, you will regret it in hell for all of eternity. Turn with me for a moment, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Note verses 8 and 9. A description of this eternal place in separation from God for those that do not prepare for eternity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. What is this everlasting destruction? We'll go back to verse 8. In flaming fire, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Do you know God? Do you know him as your own personal Savior? Oh, my friend, please do not reject the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is very simply that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again. And if you and I will repent and believe the gospel and acknowledge we need a Savior and receive him as our Savior, we can have forgiveness and we can avoid God's justice in this place of eternal judgment in flaming fire, as the Bible teaches us. Prepare to meet thy God. See, Joseph made a promise to his father that he would bury him back in Canaan. But in order to carry out the wish of the father, he had to go through the procedure of preparation. Preparation is very important. And in fulfilling the father's will, we need to prepare. See, Joseph, in fulfilling the father's will, was prepared to do what was needful. What was needful in fulfilling his father's wish, which was to be buried there in Canaan. He led his people, the Egyptians, into 40 days of embalming and preparing the body. And then 70 days of mourning. And then the procession. And then the funeral service. Preparation, preparation. My friend, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. And for those of us that know God personally as Savior and Lord, we need to be about the Father's business, do we not? We need to be doing the Father's will. And in order to effectively do the Father's will, we need to take time to be well prepared. Let me ask you, child of God, are you prepared? Are you equipped to do what God has called you to do? Now, within our church, before we have a part in a marriage ceremony between a man and a woman, we take couples through a premarital counseling time. Now, less than 6 or 7 weeks are given where we try to prepare the couple for marriage. And we won't perform the ceremony of a couple that's not prepared to be prepared for marriage. See? Because we believe it's important. We believe a couple before their marriage and the establishment of their home need to be equipped and need the affirmation of some foundational principles to prepare them for life together. And so likewise, you and I as God's people Let's not despise the day of small things. Let's not despise the opportunity to prepare for what God has for us. Fulfilling the Father's will involves preparation. And secondly, this evening, fulfilling the Father's will also involves permission. Permission. Turn back with me, please, to Genesis chapter 50. And note there in verses 4 to 6. Genesis chapter 50, verses 4 to 6. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray thee, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die, in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up, bury thy father, according as he made thee swear or vow. Permission. Fulfilling the Father's will not only involves preparation, but fulfilling the Father's will also involves permission. Joseph is a man of great influence. Joseph is a man of great authority. He is the second to Pharaoh himself. He has influence. And I dare say that he had the liberty to do as he pleased. But yet he understood and accepted that he was only a man, but he was yet a man under authority, under the authority of Pharaoh, who is the ultimate authority over Egypt. So Joseph rightfully seeks formal permission to take a trip to Canaan to bury his father. May I submit to you, my friend, that God is the author and head of authority. In Romans chapter 13, the Bible teaches us that all authority stems back to God. And to rebel against an authority is to rebel against God Almighty. No matter the measure of authority that you and I have, we need to remember that all of us are still under authority. We must submit under God's ultimate authority. We must remain under God's ultimate authority. For example, as a husband, I'm the head of my wife, Ephesians chapter 5. But yet I am under authority. Even though I am the head of my wife, I am her head, I'm to lead her. Yet the Bible teaches us I'm to love her unconditionally. I'm to be prepared to die for her. That's coming under authority, the ultimate authority, which is God's authority. Children, God commands you to obey and honor your parents. But yet we as parents are under authority to train you and to instruct you in the ways of God. As a pastor, I have been given the responsibility to lead you as a shepherd. But I'm under authority. I am an under-shepherd. It's my responsibility to feed and care for the flock. See, we've all been given authority. But it's important that we do not lose sight of the fact that we are all under a greater authority, and that's God Himself. And in fulfilling the Father's will, we need to be prepared. And secondly, in fulfilling the Father's will, we need to make sure that we remain under our ultimate authority, which is God Almighty. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it reads, For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty. Pardon me. Ye have been called unto liberty. Not only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, Joseph had a healthy respect for authority in his life. And this led him to ask, not demand. He did not demand permission to go back to Canaan to bury his father. Now you'd say with the authority that he had, he could well have demanded. But no, he seeks permission from his authority. And if you and I are to fulfill the Father's will, it involves you and I being willing to come under authority, which is ultimately God's authority. We see in Joseph's submission and humility is evident. Let me ask you this evening, what is our spirit when it comes to the ultimate authority of the Word of God? Do we gladly and humbly submit to its ultimate authority over our lives? Or are we self-willed? Or are you a God-willing individual? See, the first, the self-willed individual, will ultimately lead to bondage. But the second, God-willing, will lead to true liberty. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. At this very moment, we are being admonished very strongly by our civil authorities to obey the restrictions in place in order to control the spread of this virus. And how timely is that? Just a kindly reminder to you and I that we are a blessed people. We live in a democratic society. We have so many liberties. One might say maybe we have too many liberties. And now we are told, don't go outdoors unless you must. Do this, do that. I believe it's good for us, brethren. I believe it's good for us to remind us of the very fact that all of us are under authority. And even though we have liberty, we all have an ultimate authority. And my friend, may I remind you, the ultimate authority is God. The ultimate authority is God. Prepare to meet thy God. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, may God help us to fulfill the will of God the Father and to make sure, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm going to do your will, and I'm going to do it your way. I'm afraid that so often we as God's people are guilty of doing the will of God the Father, quote unquote, but we do it our way. But we, like Joseph of old, need to stand back and say, okay, I have an ultimate authority. This is what I want to do. I want to bury my father. But I'm going to consult my authority. And I trust that you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior will diligently and humbly consult the ultimate authority, which is God Himself. Because He knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. That's why Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 tells us that we need to trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. So child of God, let me encourage you to fulfill the will of God the Father. This involves, number one, preparation. And number two, permission. That is a willingness to submit and to seek God. Lord, how will you have me to fulfill your will at this time? May God help us to have submissive hearts. May God help us to yield fully to God's will. And as we study, as we continue to study this chapter, we'll note some further principles in fulfilling the will of our Heavenly Father. But for this evening, enough's enough. To fulfill the will of God the Father, we need to be prepared. How is God preparing you? How is God preparing me to fulfill His ultimate will? And secondly, we need to remember that we are under authority, so we need to seek permission. God, what wilt thou have me to do? How do you want me to do this that's pleasing to you? Joseph fulfills the will of his father. Are we willing to fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father? It involves preparation. It involves permission. Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we thank you for the example of Joseph and his diligence in preparing to bury his beloved father. And Lord God, as we have noted some applications, O God, I pray that you'd help us as your people to obey the will of our Heavenly Father. Lord God in heaven, guide us and lead us. Help us. Give us submissive hearts. And Lord God, if you are calling individuals to a work, a task, O God, grant us the grace to be prepared and to make preparation accordingly. And secondly, Lord God, if you are calling us to a particular task, grant us the grace to seek your guidance, seek your permission, to seek your way. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need this evening. Thank you that you've given us life and breath. You've given us guidance. You've given us your will to fulfill. Lord God, help us to do so in a way that pleases you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.